UFOs and the Nature of Reality. JZ Knight joins us along with Ramtha on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. JZ Knight back with us, of course. JZ is a very unique channeler of Ramtha. We're going to explain Ramtha again to those of you who are brand new to the program. JZ and Ramtha have indeed captivated, inspired audiences all around this planet for a long time, bridging ancient wisdom and the power of consciousness together with discoveries of science as well. JZ is the president of JZK Inc. and the Ramtha School of Enlightenment, and we're talking about their latest work, UFOs and the Nature of Reality. JZ, welcome back to Coast to Coast.
Oh, my heck, George. Thank you for having me, and good morning, good night, good afternoon, good day, wherever you are.
I had Shirley MacLaine on about 8 months ago, and she just loves you.
Well, I love her back. We go way, way back.
So when I talk about this new work, UFOs and the Nature of Reality, the authors are really two people, JZ Knight and Ramtha.
Imagine that. Oh, my heck. Well, actually, it's a revised and expanded edition. The original work we published in 1991 and this recent one, 2014. So it is an updated and expanded information up on UFOs, something I've had a long history of experience with.
Lots of new people to the program, JZ, and they're probably wondering, who is Ramtha? What is he talking about? let's let you explain how this all happened for you, too.
Well, George, if your viewers, or excuse me, your listeners, have a mind to understand our history. I wrote a best-selling book in 1987 called My Story, JZ Knight's My Story. And in that book, it goes to my total life and all the way up to the 80s, in fact, where then it closes. I've yet to now write the extension of that. But all of that information is detailed in that book. To summarize, this was a being who appeared to my husband and I. Was a dentist in Tacoma, Washington. I was a homeroom mother. I was a soccer mom, football mom, baseball mom, you name it, when you have two children. And this just happened to me because we were, like most people who live in the Pacific Northwest, we like to trail walk the Olympics and Cascades. So we were going on a big hike. Yeah. And this great book, George, you may remember this, it was called Pyramid Power,
yes.
Came out. And we were all excited because it talked about dehydrating food. Now, up to that point, we didn't have much of a selection at that particular time, 1977, for dehydrated food that you could actually take on your backpacking, hiking tours. And so we got that. And my husband, being a medical scientist, if you will, he constructed all of these to-scale little pyramids and using a compass to align them properly. And we put all kinds of things underneath this thing. I mean, there were so many. We started on a Friday, sent the kids out to spend the night with someone else, pull the blinds down, God forbid anybody see what we're doing. And we had pyramids. I had to open my oven door to set pyramids on the oven door. They were on top of the refrigerator, on the floor, on the table. But, you know, he was very scientific and very thorough. So we put all these items in to see if that worked, you know, milk to yogurt, and his favorite was making a cheap wine taste better, et cetera. So that was on a Friday evening, and we spent all day Saturday doing this until I was crazy. And we stayed up all night. He would make his rounds, making sure everything was still aligned. And on Sunday afternoon, I mean, the kids would try to come in, we'd send them back out, and no, you can't come in. And about 2:30 in the afternoon, I couldn't walk in the kitchen or in the dining room. And we were sitting, my kitchen was rather elongated, and at the end was a nice bay window where the kitchen table sat. And I just put one of these silly things on my head, and I was just you get giddy when you get tired. And I said, golly, if I just put this on my head, maybe I'll get genius, you know. And put it on, and we just started laughing. It was just the mood we were in. I mean, you would have had to see our kitchen, George, and our house. It was surreal. And so about 2:30 in the afternoon, I pull my thing up, and I heard this sound at the end of my kitchen, and there stood this being that sort of went up into the ceiling. And I thought I was seeing things because I was laughing, had tears, so I wiped my tears down and looked back up. And sure enough, this being at 2:30 in the afternoon was standing at the end of my kitchen. And my husband's compass that he used to align all these things just started whining and spinning very, very fast. Anyway, that was the introduction of Ramtha, the Enlightened One, into our life. And not being a metaphysical person, not really, you know, into anything like that, I had, except of my early experiences, which we can talk about, but up to that point, I mean, you know, I loved God, and I trusted when I had no one else. I would always pray and always talk to God, blah, blah, blah. And, I mean, here stood this thing, and it was quite amazing. And he introduced himself, and this is 2:30 in the afternoon on a Sunday, not at midnight, and said he was going to send us these things that would happen to begin crossing the ditch, whatever that meant. I thought it was a bomb was going off. I looked down at my linoleum floor. It was still intact. And there began, in 1977, in February in Tacoma, Washington, began a life-changing, to say the least, event that happened in our lives in Tacoma, Washington. Ramtha, the Enlightened One, is a being who is connected with ships. I know that sounds strange, but is, and has been in my life ever since. And so not only did I get the education of my life, my family did, and there began a reluctant housewife now working with a being that certainly proved from the fulcrum of doubt, demonstrated many, many wonderful things to us to teach us that, in fact, that God lived within us. It wasn't something outside of us. And that began the journey. And here we are today, almost 40 years later.
That's amazing. What a journey it's been, JC. Now, Ramtha was a warrior, was he not?
He was a warrior 35,000 years ago. Okay, hold on, you know. 40,000 years ago, we had the first peoples in Australia. We had peoples all over the world. I mean, that's an absolute fact. But this was a being who was here 35,000 years ago. He was a Lemurian, and he talks about his people that came from beyond the North Star. And there is a vast amount of knowledge that we have in our libraries about his time here and what he was up to. Essentially, him and his race, the Lemurians, and four other races were actually on the planet, had been on the planet, in I suppose what we could call it simplistically is a Genesis project, and that these races came from different parts of the galaxies and beyond our own galaxy. And there were, imagine, for lack of a better term, scientists and engineers and geneticists coming to repopulate, reinstill life into a damaged world. And that was what was underway 35,000 years ago and had been underway some time at Ramtha's birth or his appearance at that particular time. And so he talks about the very rich history of how things happened on the Earth and what these different races brought to the table in terms of restoring life, sort of like the wildlife projects in Africa that are helping injured animals, replacing horns on growing tissue over, you know, rhino horns that have been decapitated for silly superstitious beliefs. So you can take that and go forward with it and understand that this was a project that was actually happening with us, the beginnings of us, the jump in our intelligence at that particular time. And it's quite a colorful history. So Ramtha, when he appears, I can see him like I would see you. He's very tall. He's over 7 feet tall.
Wow.
And he considered himself small in comparison to, for example, his mother, who he said was nearly 9 feet tall. And so the Lemurians were the giants of that time. And his when I channel him, I don't go into a trance. I don't go into a, I don't know, I'm not a medium, I'm not a large, I'm not a small.
Are you alert? When you're doing this?
I'm alert leaving my body. I have near-death experiences. But then I go down this tunnel. This was a whole one-and-a-half-year training that Ramtha put me through in Tacoma, Washington, to where I actually leave my body. And Ramtha is not in my body as he is around the body. He's working my body in a life force through my lower cerebellum and my own brain. And so the body acts like sort of a puppet, and that puppet is what is he's teaching people with, not necessarily himself, but he's a long history with UFOs. He has a long history. I mean, that's what we call them. They're actually great craft from a whole, I mean, just look how many stars there are in the Milky Way and how many planets orbit all of them. I mean, we can't even see us. You can't even see Earth on the Milky Way. I mean, we're way out here in the boondocks. You could imagine a thriving life just in our own galaxy. Well, these beings, these scientists that I like to call them, were here to regenerate. Their purpose is doing that on every planet, and his purpose was to bring enlightenment, not only that we are spiritual beings, but enlightenment as to the future and how to create our minds going forward rather than the dustbin of the past, which we have to live every single day. And so that has been this long, long, long odyssey. And Ramtha is a miracle worker. I mean, he sends runners. He makes things happen. I mean, hundreds of thousands of people around the world will attest to that. I mean, he does all these marvelous things. But the synopsis of why me is that I'm a woman, and I have two children. I don't live in a cave somewhere. I don't belong to some sect somewhere.
Right. You are a normal woman.
I'm a normal. I was a normal woman in her 30s, and when he says that God is both man and woman, that they are equal, that the body is simply a body, it contains a divine element in it, which we are, that began the teaching in the early 80s, where he became an icon throughout the entire 80s.
What is he trying to get across, especially through you?
Just through my body. I'm not here. I've gone on. That proved in 96, after 2 years of scientific testing, in 96 was actually when they knew that I did leave my body. And I think we sent you, George, the recent DNA that was done on myself and Ramtha using the body DNA and tested by 4 different labs across the country. And it proved that when he turns the body on, it's a completely different DNA than my own DNA. So we say the body, it's Jay-Z's body, but I'm not here.
You're not there. He's occupying it.
What is he teaching us is the greatest teaching that he opened up with in the late 70s and early 80s was Behold God, and it was a teaching that Jesus Christ gave. He said, Behold God. And instead of pointing up, he was pointing to everyone in the audience. He said, Don't you know ye are gods? When Ramtha started that, he sort of cut through the fluff of talking dolphins and a lot of things, a lot of information that was being given out in the early 80s, the time when we all came out of the closet and began to share reincarnation and, you know, who we were, you know, what was our sign and all that sort of stuff. He sort of cut through that and made it really something spectacular that he said that you're a divine entity. You have within you the capacity to create. And your only destiny is not to come back and pay karma for abusing your aunt or something, but rather to make known the unknown. That's the creative element within us. And from that, he started reteaching people about history, and especially their origins and why they're here and what they can look forward to. And that's the odyssey, actually, that he's been on for 40 years, and his school is still going up in Yelm, Washington, and around the world as we speak.
Are you glad that this has happened to you? Were there ever times, Jay-Z, that you kind of wished this wasn't going on?
Oh, my heck, George. That's a loaded question and a great question. I would not have missed this destiny for any people, place, thing, time, and event in the world. Not ever. Being a young woman and being the object of ridicule and being called everything in the world, you know, you grow a tough skin. The pain of being this was beyond description. The pain of suffering, of being an outcast at Poker Flats, and being associated with something that was antithetical to religion. I was a pariah out here. And yes, that was very hard, but here's the most beautiful thing, and we're going to talk about UFOs. You know, there's millions of people around the globe that have seen UFOs and have had experiences with them.
That's right.
We can date it all the way back to, I love the show Ancient Aliens, and I know Jason, and I know George, and haven't met Jonathan Young yet. I love Nick Pope. All of them, you know, we can see historical ruins around the world that attest to something greater before us, of knowledge that was greater than what we even have today. So just like the millions of people that have seen a UFO, have seen these spectacular craft, have had encounters, have had personal encounters with them, once you see it, you can never deny it. You may be ashamed of it, and you may be frightened back into the closet, but in your heart of hearts, you've had an extraordinary experience. Well, that's how it is with me. You know, I have seen Ramtha. I have died 1,000 times. I've gone through that tunnel. I've been on the other side. I know what it is to have a spiritual body, an awareness, versus the human being and coming back into my body and back at my computer in my head. Once you see this, you can't deny it for anything, because after all, you say you love God, right? So no matter how bad it got, and it was pretty bad, George, no matter how bad it got, you see Ramtha, you have the experience, you see the effect in people's lives, and you just know that you may think you're the only one in the world, but you just know that you've been blessed. That's how I have to live with it.
That is
40 years later, I love my life. Oh, my God, I love being older and wiser.
But you don't act it. You don't act older. You're almost ageless.
Thank you, George. Want a date? No, I have always. This is the thing, George. This is so cool. I have, and as you know, I have a lot of friends around the world who are celebrities, not celebrities. I think the greatest celebrities I've ever met happen to go to Ramtha School, because they can do remarkable things with their minds. And is the fact that when you learn...
Hold on for a sec, Jay-Z. We're at the break, but we'll come back. We'll talk more about that, then we'll get into the modified book, UFOs and the Nature of Reality. And then we'll take calls next hour on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Jay-Z Knight with us. Ramtha as well. We're talking about their modified work, UFOs, and the nature of reality. We'll get into that when we come back. Beyond Belief, by the way, that's our television program, and they're looking for you to watch the program in record numbers. Simply go to the website, beyondbelief.com, and take advantage of the trial period that they've got set up there for you, and tell us what you think of the show as well. Just go to beyondbelief.com. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you with Jay-Z Knight. Jay-Z, when Ramtha starts, I don't want to say talking through your body, but do you have to summon him up, or does he just show up?
Oh, that's so hard to explain. I was talking to your technical man about, I have an issue with time, and I do have an issue with time. But when it's time for Ramtha, for example, wherever where we have events, I usually go up about 2 hours early, and I start to prepare myself because I have to move my awareness away from the here and now and everything that's going on in my life, like we do, to start focusing on transition. And it takes about an hour and a half for me to really get my awareness to sort of depart out. Ramtha doesn't just automatically take over my body. I mean, there is, what makes us divine is, and watched over and nursed and protected, is that we all have free will. It's a divine issuance. And that divine issuance says, you know, it's on your terms. Well, my terms have always been that I've never just been, you know, as some people like to say, possessed. I think that's a wrong term. I prepare. And if I don't prepare, if I don't start moving my energy up, getting it consciously in my head where I'm about to go, my body starts to gain water. It's very noticeable, the difference between Ramtha and myself using the same body. Then I'm ready, and I hear him, and then I lift on out. He trained me to do that back in 1977-78, and I'm up on the ceiling, I'm downstairs, I'm wherever for a moment, and then I'm gone, and I don't even know how long he's been there. I mean, my time awareness is very distorted. Yeah. So he doesn't just know, you know, this is one thing that Shirley learned, you know. Shirley had wonderful psychics around her, but they were always on telephone call. And I just laughed because I said, you know, I can't call up Ramtha. You know, that isn't how it works. And I always had a difficulty sort of explaining how it worked. I've gotten better over the years, of course, but I leave, and he immediately picks up that body and holds the life in it and changes it. I mean, changes it down to its DNA. So, I mean, that's what happens.
Could I be talking to you now, and all of a sudden you're gone and he's here?
No.
Okay.
No. Those incidences have been very rare and few in between, because I would have to want to leave. That would have to be my will to leave, to surrender my occupancy for him to come. And that is essential to what the future is, why we are important as beings to the plethora of species that come to visit Earth and partake in our life. There are real caretakers that take care of us, because we are a divine being living within a DNA programmable suit. And so I can't just, you know, I just wouldn't be walking down the street and suddenly it's Ramtha. I would have had to say, get me out of here. I don't want to be here. And maybe that would work, but no. So we won't be talking to Ramtha tonight. My apologies.
That's okay. Now, he was a warrior. You know, he was someone who went to war with the Atlanteans. Would it have been different for you if you, let's say, had channeled somebody more enlightened, like Socrates or Plato or someone like that?
but who knows that they were more enlightened? I only know that Rampa was in belonged to an alien group, and he went to war because he was a young boy. That at the time of this conflict that broke out between these different groups on Earth, and that's happened before in our history.
Sure.
And he, the god, if you will, or the source, if you will, of the Lemurians was called the Unknown God, and the Atlanteans worshipped three gods of intellect. You know, we might as well call them, you know, computer, iPhone, whizzes. Whereas the Lemurians were very intuitive, very psychic, extremely well-developed beings for their part, for their work on Earth or planet Terra Firma at that particular time. And this war broke out between two groups of Atlanteans. One group was on the moon, and the other group was where they were at, and the world at that time was encapsulated very much like Venus. It's like a womb effect, a cloud effect. And at that time, for regeneration, for the regeneration of species or introduction of new species on the planet. And so when that war broke out, then they created calamitous, like war does, conditions, and some of the Lemurians just ended up sort of as pilgrimages to across Mexico over to Oneida, and they were an enslaving race. They were an enslaving race, and as a young boy, he declared war on them. I mean, he hated the Unknown God because somehow they were supposed to protect his family. They didn't. And that started the whole story. But he is an ancient Hindu god. That ancient city that's in the Indus Valley is part of the heritage of Ramtha 35,000 years ago, because that's where he ascended. He went back from where he came. So it isn't that we deem non-war as more enlightened. The most educated species still exist today beyond our comprehension, still have fractions. We have a faction group that has been here for thousands of years. They live in the ground, they live, have bases in the ground, under the water. They're the most enslaving group, and those are the descendants of that Elation group. They're known by, there's a whole phalanx of them, of species that belong to this one group. I think one author termed them the Old Empire. And then we have this other groups that are endeavoring to protect us and free us from them. So that old battle, that old war still exists today amongst competitive groups for ownership. So there is, in some sense, that the liberation of true freedom to make known the unknown is still a process in the work, even against the most advanced technological beings that have been here for thousands of years.
Had you known Ramtha in person back 35,000 years ago, do you think you would have liked him as an individual?
I do. I did know him 35,000 years ago. Yes, and I would. And he is a marvelous being. He is a marvelous being, has great humility, has great love, is fearless, and teaches us the simplest of things to do, and then builds on that knowledge so we can ask greater questions, that from those questions about future, we get new experiences in our life. That's what he teaches his students. I would have loved him. In fact, you would have loved him.
Perfect. On the cover of your book, UFOs and the Nature of Reality, you've got a pretty good depiction of a crop formation from England that occurred back 4 years ago.
That's correct. With
an alien smoking a pipe. What do you think? Why did you pick this for the cover? And two, what do you think the significance of this image is?
Well, back 2 years prior to this crop circle that appeared in Wiltshire, England, July 2011, was 2 years prior to that, or maybe it was a year and a half prior to that, Ramtha had was giving a talk, a teaching, and sending runners, meaning experiences, to the students about the mystery of the crop circles. And in that, he said, I will make a crop circle, and you're going to know it when you see it, that it's from me. It's going to be undeniable. And so this is what he does. He gives what we would call prophecies, and then they come to pass, and we document them. We have huge, huge library of such prophecies. So on this particular one, when this crop circle appeared and it made news everywhere, I mean, really, an alien smoking a pipe with a, you know, it looks like a headdress of feathers, but in fact, this is Ramtha. He says, I'm an alien. Ramtha does smoke a pipe, by the way, and he, this headdress represents seven levels of consciousness and energy that comprise the kingdom of light, from the boson God particle all the way through to our densest elements, which we are today. And so that actually represents his teaching. Anyone in his audience that has studied under him would have been able to recognize this, and it was the pipe that gave it away. Now, I mean, really, have you ever seen a crop circle so definitive?
No, not like that. And most of the time, you can't even figure out what they are.
No, you can't figure out what they are, but there's some that come pretty doggone close to it. But that stamp to the thousands of people who have studied under him, that he's directed, you know, maybe once or twice to many years of instruction, they knew that immediately, that that was from him. And he had prophesied that it would come. And there you have the pipe-smoking alien. So to our delight and to students around the world, this became sort of the graphic of Ramtha, because it does explain in graphic symbology what he is.
Ramtha has talked about ETs interested in seed people. What is that?
Seed people. George, I know that you know this, and I know your vast knowledge knows this. People who watch Ancient Aliens should know this. Hangar One file should know this. Timothy Good work, Nick Pope's work, Disclosure Project. All of these are such incredible levels of information to understand our evolution as a people. The seed people are the people in which these particular groups, dating back even further from Ramtha, 455,000 years ago with the Sumerian text, and Enlil and Enki representing archetypes of two different divisions from one household, were creating people from DNA that was really a cross between the hominids were direct descendants basically from apes, blending that DNA with these beings. They perfected the human being. Now, what was really interesting about this, those beings in those times were giants, just like Ramtha's people were giants. And they created smaller versions of themselves and cleaned them up and made them into servants, into peoples. And this process of creating a DNA that was had to come from the earth. It had to contain within it the elements, the atmosphere, the minerals, in essence, the clay of the earth. Hence, the first prototype of it. But it also had to contain an evolutionary prospect, and that evolutionary prospect comes from our alien ancestors. And so these small people could live in the earth, could thrive in the earth, and they were actually being manufactured all over the world, in different parts of the world, from Egypt to Mesopotamia to Europe to Northern Europe to Northern America, East Coast of America, all the way, I mean, all around the globe, they were created. And their ancient pictographs actually, of all of these different peoples, depict these individuals who were, they call them their gods or their teachers or their caretakers. You know, whatever they called them, these were the ones that taught them the simple beginnings of survival, architecture, mathematics, agriculture, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So the seed people were always part of the Genesis Project, no matter whether it's this Earth or, you know, some Earth in Alpha Centauri. Any time that an Earth is damaged, there are these groups that go in and recreate with expanding technology, if I can use that word, yeah, beings that can exist and make known the unknown up on all of these different planets. And Earth is no exception. It's a very dynamic planet. It's a watery world. It's got plate tectonics moving and heavy water. It's very dynamic. It's very difficult to sustain life on it without the upgrade of our DNA. So, I absolutely, just as ancient astronaut theorists theorize, and without objection, just present you with the information, let you decide. My theory is that, and I know this from myself, but it's still a theory, our DNA is being upgraded all around the world for some spectacular moments that are coming. So seed people are humans or life forms that thrive in different galaxies, different worlds, different suns, not just the Pleiades or, you know, the common things that we like to think of, but something very spectacular, mm-hmm, that because of the dynamisms of matter itself creates different worlds that are not all uniform. So the beings that have to exist there must be made of the elements to which that world exists. And so cultures that came here were creating destroyed, out of a destroyed earth once again, human beings with an upload, a dynamic DNA that had the ability to morph itself and to change as the mind, which is brain and input manifesting as mind from consciousness, as it began to have visions and concepts that could move right on out into the future, so was the dynamism of DNA itself. So these are the children, the Earth's children today, all 8 billion of us, are descendants from these grand beings who once upon a time put us together. Now, when I say us, I'm speaking strictly of the concept of our flesh and blood bodies. I am not speaking of our spiritual beings, that is the divine element within us, which is an eternal element.
That's an interesting theory. Kind of echoes a little bit of the work of the late Zechariah Sitchin, Jay-Z, in terms of being seeded by extraterrestrials, doesn't it?
Well, he came, I knew him, he came here about 3 times and met Ramtha, yeah, and gave him a couple of tests, and Ramtha enjoyed talking to him. He was the only one that Zechariah ever met that knew the whole story behind the Lord God Jehovah.
We're going to talk more. Hold on, Jay-Z. Already at the top of the hour. Fast hour indeed. We'll talk more, and then we'll come back and take some calls, too, on Coast to Coast AM.